God, we thank you so much for your word as always. We thank you for the Spirit of God being alive in this place again to minister, to guide, direct, and instruct us in the path of righteousness. We thank you, Father, that you're leading and guiding us. And as we look to the Holy Spirit to be the teacher, to be the revelator to the body of Christ, that he ministers to us all the things that we need to know, Father. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And we'll continue. Well, actually, we're going to be in 11:28, because we had to do 29 and 30 and 31. We finished on 28, but we'll pick it back up there to get back in the groove. All the way from verse 24 down, they were talking about money, how you handle money, not loving money, not being stingy and tight. Verse 24 said, there's he that scattereth and yet increases. There's he that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. To be tight, to hold on and not invest, it'll lead to poverty. We were talking about, and I was studying some things in The Richest Man in Babylon and Automatic Millionaire and some other books. Important thing is one of the keys to getting wealthy, and this is particularly good for the young people, for the young adults, is time is on your side. Amortization is the greatest mathematical, not amortization, but compound interest is the greatest mathematical principle in the world. And the way to become wealthy, any book worth its salt will not, they'll say it different ways, but it all means this. The way to become wealthy is to not spend all that you have, or part of all you make is yours to keep. Pay yourself first. It's phrased like that, but you have to pay yourself first. You have to put money there. Somebody said, well, how do I pay myself first? One way to pay yourself first, even before the government, is to have something like a tax sheltered annuity or something like that, because you get it pre-tax dollars and you don't pay taxes until you take it out. Or you have a Roth, an IRA, or one of those different types of accounts. Some of them you pay taxes on later, some of them you don't, some of them you pay up front, don't pay later. But you want to try and get as much money as possible into investments and still not stop your life, because you may not live to retirement. Don't put your whole marbles in retirement. But definitely, if the way to become wealthy is to realize that you cannot work enough to become wealthy. You have to get your money working for you. As the way it's in Rich Man Babylon, your money has to have children. And your money's children have to have children. Somebody on Palm Beach who doesn't have to go to work, doesn't matter. Like Donald Trump, doesn't matter if he goes to work or not tomorrow. It doesn't matter if he goes to work again another day in his life. He's still going to be wealthy because he has so much money and so much assets that the interest from those assets produce way more than he can spend in a lifetime. You have an individual like a rock star or somebody out there and they're making their money and they blow through it and they burn it and smoke it and snort it and sniff it, and then it's all gone. And all they had to do was take 1 million of them 50, 60, 80 million they had. The Olsen twins, those two girls, they have 300 million. They're worth over $300 million. All they each got to do is take a million and put it away and they'll never be broke the rest of their life. Now, so happened they're probably going on, they won't be broke anyway. But literally, if you have that money, then you're no longer marketable and you keep buying boats and planes, eventually you'll be broke. And when you get that kind of capital, you should never be broke again in your life, because you should not spend it. A part of all you make is yours to keep means there's 10% that you should put aside always that you don't touch and you will never touch while you're drawing breath on this earth. You should never touch it. That is designed for wealth building. When they said 10%, that's not for a rainy day. That's not savings for a car. You got to save all that out of the 80%. The tithe, minus the tithe and the 10% you pay yourself. You got to live off the 80%. You have to learn to live off more, less than you make. You live off of the 80%. But that 10% that goes to you, that is for wealth. That money is never be touched. That is a principle that you will protect forever. And that is what you will build wealth on, so that you have the money to be able to go out and do things and be able to give unlimitedly. I was talking to some pastors and they said, oh, well, you know, you have a few more programs in ministry. You got this, that, and the other. I said, yeah, we can spend money on a whole lot of other things. But then you won't have a strong foundation. We're building a foundation so that when we launch out and we hit the city with all the programs are funded. I don't beg you to fund them. So you build a strong financial base. You have enough people. You have a solid facility. You have your bills paid. You have some money in the bank. And then as God leads you, you launch out only into the areas God leads you in. You build a strong foundation. Financially, you build a strong foundation. I didn't listen to my parents. I didn't build a strong foundation. So now I'm trying to get good sense and get things together and do the things I need to do, because I was busy running around doing other stuff, not paying attention. But as a young person, those of you who are out here particularly, and even those who are older, you know, God can redeem the time. Young people like Jelani's age, what are you, about 24, 25? 22. 22. So he's got a few more years on his time. He can literally put aside, you know, essentially nickels and dimes relative to what he makes, if he's got any job at all, flipping burgers at McDonald's, whatever, any kind of job at all, if you put 10% away, he will retire with more than $1 million.
That's right.
He will retire. That's simple, because you can get 10% out there fairly easy over the course of 35, 40 years. You will average, the stock market's averaged 10 to 12% ever since its inception back in the 20s. You can do it. There's no reason somebody as young as him should not retire with $1 million. It's not even difficult to do. We're not talking about majorly changing your lifestyle. Our kids at their age, you know, 10 and 8, Deanna, what's the key to get money? What do you do to get money? You have to put it in the bank and make your money make money. Now, you have to get it out of the bank, though. You have to invest it. But I told them to bank because they don't have enough yet to get into investments. But you have to, the key, she says, you have to make your money make money. And see, when they learn at 10 and 9 and 6 year old to make your money make money and never touch it, then they'll learn the right way before they learn the wrong way. They didn't have to unlearn it in adulthood. They learn that, I mean, by 30, they can be millionaires if they want to by 30. And I'm not talking about being covetous or loving money. I'm talking about being wise, wise as an original Jew. Knowing that you have to, that's a compliment, not a derogatory statement. Wise as original Jew, to know that you have to build assets, not liabilities. You have to buy assets, not liabilities. You have to understand in your time of making money, you have to produce income, developing things. You know, you buy yourself a house because it's better than paying rent, but you don't go buy yourself the top of the money you can afford house. You buy a house just to get in to get a house, and then you try and get yourself a second house. Because eventually the second house and all those other houses will have so much money coming in. When your money makes enough money that it equals your salary, you are financially independent and you don't have to work. We had a friend, Andre, Helen's, we call him her cousin, but I think it's kind of not really a flesh cousin, but their family's real close, so call him his cousin. But Andre, I tell you about Andre, when everybody else went to college to get a job, to earn a living, to make money, he decided he's going to go be a fireman. And he worked hard in the fireman, saved almost every dime. We're hanging out, partying, having a good time. We didn't see Andre. He wasn't running with us. He was going to work driving the fire engine. But by the time he reached 30, he could retire. He was independent. He had over $500,000 and he was independently wealthy. And he never worked anything but just a fireman's job. He wasn't out making $200,000 a year. He didn't hit the lottery, didn't do any of that. He just kept putting money in because he said, I want to quit working young. Wouldn't it be nice to retire at 30 instead of 65?
Yes.
And for the rest of the life, have an income. See, that's the kind of blessings that God wants for his people. But we don't follow the wisdom of counting the cost of the money we spend. Now, we may have had some new suits, we might have some new dresses, might have some new clothes, but where are they at now? Same place the money is, gone. Bought what they call them, doodads. We bought doodads. Bought doodads and got a closet full of doodads. But right now, if we were wise, by the time you hit 30 or 40, you could have had all you wanted and not worked. Could have had all you wanted. Because you would have enough capital out there to continue doing it. Now, for the young people, jump right on it. For the older people, jump right on it. The same advice to everybody, because whenever you start, it'd be better off than if you don't ever start. I was telling you the key to that book. We have it in the bookstore, The Automatic Millionaire. Brenda recommended it to us. Brenda James in the auto department. She recommended we get a hold of it. And that book makes it really simple because with everything being automated now, and most people, he said, I deal with all these people, and they do not take care of their finances properly. They don't take care of them. So he said, what I'm going to do is, well, actually, this couple came in. A couple came in, and the guy was in his class. He was a financial teacher in one of colleges. Also, he's a financial advisor. And the guy came after class and said, can I talk to you about my finances? My wife and I think about retiring. And he looked at him like, you know, what, you like 49? The guy, yeah. And the guy wasn't dressing. I mean, he was dressed nice, but he wasn't decked out, wasn't driving a Porsche. He's like, yeah, this dude crazy. They're going to retire. But anyway, he had him come into the office. He set an appointment. They came to the office. He sat there, and they pulled out, and they were worth $1.8 million.
Wow.
One was 49, the other one's 48, approaching 50, 51. And they were worth $1.8 million. And he couldn't believe it. He said, look at the way you dress. Look at what you drive. And they weren't poor. It's just he didn't expect. The guy was, they never made more than $50,000 a year in their life together, both of them working. She was a beautician, he was something else. But they never made more than that. But he said, our parents told us when we were young, don't get into credit card debt. Both of their houses were paid off. They had one that they were renting and one that they lived in, and both of them were paid off. Mm-hmm. Both of them. They had money sitting in the bank. They had he had like $900,000 on one of his accounts, and he had like $400,000 on something else, and he had something else, and it just and then the value of the houses they were worth almost $2 million. Mm-hmm. And they were 49 years old, and they never made more than $50,000 a year. But they started young. When they got married, he said we got married young at 19 and 20, and we just never got into the credit card debt, and we bought what we lived. We didn't leave poor. We had a good time. We went on vacations. We just didn't throw it all away. We wouldn't touch it. We start off just saving 10%. Our parents says 10% of all you make is yours to keep. So we just start off putting the 10% away since we were 20. And then we went up to 15 later because we were able to live on the 20 so easy. We said, let's put away 15. Then we started making a few dollars that add up. But the power of compound interest did that for them. The Word of God teaches there's he that scattereth, and yet he increases. There's that person who puts it out there, but they increase. And there's those that withhold, and they come to lack. Jesus taught a parable. I'm not going to go through it, but he taught us, not a parable, he taught a story where he said that you have the talents, the story of the talents. We covered it some time ago about the one man, the master had money, just like rich man Babylon, just like Akkad or whatever his name was, the guy who had the wealthy money, and the other guy asked him, how do I get the money? And he said, he was teaching him lessons, and he said, a part of all you make is yours to keep. Jesus told the rich man gave the guy talents, and he says, look, you know, you get 10, you get 5, and you get 2. And he left, and he went on a long journey, and then when he came back, the one had 10, and multiplied it. The one had 5, and multiplied it. The other one, he had it and put it in the backyard. He didn't waste the money. He didn't throw the money away, but he didn't scatter it to bring increase. If you take your money and bury it in the backyard in a tin can, it's depreciating every year because of inflation. You can bury $10,000, but you wait 10 years and you only got about $9,500 in there. Because, see, inflation, the dollar's worth less every year. Because of inflation. You want to put your money somewhere where it makes an investment or makes a profit above inflation. Jesus called the man who gave the master back his money. He didn't waste it. He didn't lose it. He didn't throw it away, but he didn't increase it. And he called him a wicked servant. What would he call people who throw it away and don't have and can't account for it? I don't know. If he called a man wicked just for not increasing it, what would we call those who squandered it and wasted it? Hey, don't be calling us names now, Pastor. That's me too. What would he call us? See, we got to stop and think. God, the Word of God works, and all the blessings we need are in there, but we have to have enough sense to draw it out and then have enough faith to do it, to act on it, to act on it. I don't care how much you make or don't make, try and save some. One guy was saying, well, maybe you can't save 10%. You're in so much debt, you can't save 10%. Ain't nobody on this planet, not even the widow with her one mite, is going to miss 1%. But you need to start developing the habit. If you just open a savings account and say, I'm going to put $5 per paycheck in that savings account until I get in a better situation to put more in, you've got to develop that habit. You've got to develop that habit. My finances will turn around and come back in the right direction for not walking in wisdom before, trying to get out of debt, trying to take care of bills. But hey, I'm not the only one there, so don't throw no stones at me. A few of you are away from that, but most people are right where I be. Where we have, well, most of them not even there because I have enough sense to come out. But most of them are stuck in it, going to stay in it, and going to be working at Walmart when they reach 66. And that's not saying it's bad work at Walmart, but when you reach 66 and you want it to be retired, but you have to work because Social Security is not covering you, it's bad to work at Walmart. It's bad to work at Burroughs or anywhere else if you want to be retired and you have to work at 66. I don't care where you work. You can work for the government. If you don't want to be working at 66, but you have to work, it's bad wherever you work. Think about what I'm saying. But that doesn't have to happen if we're wise with our finances. Some of you called the financial seminar, and I hadn't forgotten about it. We're just going to get it in the right time. I'm starting to study some of it now to get it back all fresh in my mind. But we've got to get to the point where we walk wisely, because God said we will be the lenders, not the borrowers. Right, right. And he told us some time ago what was going to happen in this economy, how this economy is going to turn upside down, and these Visa people and everybody else are going to start demanding their money on due, because they put all that in those credit card things. If you read that small print a few years ago, they start talking about if you don't pay it off. Anybody ever get one of those? If you don't pay it off, then you automatically accept the terms, and they give you like 2 months or 3 months to pay it off, knowing you can't pay that much off in 2 or 3 months. Well, that means you automatically accept the terms. And some of the changes in terms are we can call this balance due without notice for any purpose. And literally, if the economy goes bad, they're going to start taking it out your back pocket. And their people will be bankrupt and on the street with a sign saying we'll work for food, and other folks be saying, I got no job for you. I'm trying to work for food myself. And there will be things that come on the body of Christ that God had warned them. If they followed the word, he didn't intend it to happen, but they wouldn't listen. We don't want to be those people that won't listen. We at least go to a church where we get to hear it. Right. Most people ain't got to listen to it because they ain't been saying it. They go on one just tithe and everything going to be all right. I tithe all the years I was spending money all them years. Everything won't be all right. If you throw away more than you make, you're going to be broke. and you're going to stay broke. You have to be wise enough to put money aside and structure your finances. By all means, you got to stop robbing God, because some people, they don't tithe. And you understand, it is if you believe Jesus coming back, you got to believe what the Bible says. There's a curse upon you when you do not tithe. There's a curse upon your finances. Does that mean you're going to be flat broke all the time? No, but you're going to have a much harder time than God intended trying to come to material wealth because you're robbing God. And we need the blessing of God, especially some that waited to their 50, 60, and 70. You need the blessings of God real quick. Because if this economy turns right now, you can end up on welfare in the poorhouse. Never intend to be there, never want to be there. And don't cry over spoiled milk. Start today and go forward. Go thy way and financially sin no more. Don't worry about that. See, we know. That's the key. If we know, and I always told people, church is supposed to be family. We can be each other's support group. Doesn't have to matter what anybody out there says, anybody talks about us, puts us down. If we all decide we're not going to buy no new clothes for a while to save our money, doesn't matter. If you look at a brother and his clothes worn out, brother, I'm saving money. I'm building my fortune. Well, brother, I'm building my fortune, too. See, I'm building mine, too. We ain't trying to keep up with the Joneses. I told you, Smiths are perfectly good people. You ain't got to run with the Joneses. And the Joneses may be in the poorhouse. If your last name is Jones, I'm sorry. I ain't particularly talking about you, but give me a break, okay? So now I say that, and people say, why you got to say the Joneses? Oh, I'm sorry, your last name Jones, but I ain't got to keep up with you neither. Don't have to. The Smiths are perfectly good people. But there's he the scatterer. He invests, and yet he increases, and there's he that withholdeth meat and tendeth to poverty. Those people went out, and they put that money to work. The richest man, Babylon, the man taught him how to make money. You got to go put that money to work. Don't sit on it in a mattress, and by all means, don't throw it all away. Money breeds itself when you put it in the right breeding ground. There's all kind of things, tax shelters, annuities, all kind of things. You continue read the Rich Man Babylon, because they also talk about the next step is you got to be wise enough not to give the brick maker money to go buy diamonds. The brick maker knows how to make bricks. He doesn't know how to buy diamonds. And that guy spent a whole year saving up a fortune, and then he lost the whole fortune because he came back to the rich man and said, have you saved your money? Have you learned how to fatten your purse? Oh, yeah, I fattened it up, and the brick maker's going to Persia, and I gave him, when he goes, I gave him some money. He's going to buy some diamonds and gems, and when he comes back, he said, oh, you fool. Would you go to the baker to read the stars for you? No, you go to the astrologer. Why would you go to the brickmaker to buy diamonds? And sure enough, when the brickmaker came back, they sold him glass. So the man lost. And so he spent the whole year trying to stab. And he said, the second law to success is don't get information from folk who don't have it. And advice is free and is normally worth what you pay for it. If it's free advice, it's usually not worth anything. Now, that's not always because I'm giving you free advice. But usually it's not worth anything. For the most part, it's worth exactly what you pay for it. Somebody standing on the corner told, I got a free advice stand. Or somebody just walking up always giving you advice. It's probably not worth it. You better check the credentials of the person and check their motives. My motive is to see you win. Joy Faith Christian Center is church family with your success at heart. I want to see you win. We're not trying to put price on stuff. We're trying to give you the information so you can go out and win in life. And you can. Whether I made a mistake or didn't make the mistake, all of us need to learn and go the right way. Go the right way. I'm not going to paint pictures like I ain't made mistakes. I've made mistakes. Who hasn't? But when I learn, let's learn and go thy way and sin no more. And we can all go together in the right direction. I told you, I would love to see such Christian character in this church that God could divinely put people together. Do you know they have money market mutual funds and things out there? The minimum investment is $50,000. And together, we never could get in that to get that higher interest rate because rich people made those accounts for them. They keep all the little money out. They made it for them. But they would take your greenbacks if we had people honest enough to sit at a table and say, let's pool our $2,000 and $1,000 and $5,000 together that we only going to get 8% interest and pool it and put it in one of those $50,000, $100,000 minimum investments, which gives 20% interest or whatever. See, all of us will still get out. We all know how to add. We can get a calculator. So you put in $2,000, you get a percent back. Ain't no problem. But the rich people have got it set where they benefit, but you don't. And we're crabs in the barrel some of the time where ain't nobody going to let nobody else get out. So they just don't work together and they all stay in together. And I know not everybody that's got a fish on their car got integrity. So you don't want to get in folks fighting, folks squabbling, and it's straight math. Yeah. Get out of calculator. If we put $100,000 in, you put in 2%, you get 2% of profits. When you take your money out, you get 2%. of the profit. You know, I'm not supposed to get more. You're not supposed to. No, you get 2%. That's what you put in. Be easy to do. I mean, stockbrokers make parts of your money doing that for you because, you know, you won't behave yourselves. So they make laws of the people they pick the money up from. Whereas people can come together and say, no, we trust each other. We all can add math. We can meet every month and take a look at the numbers, and we can go out. We could go out and buy a mall together. You could go out and buy a piece of real estate, buy a big bare piece of land. Everybody, see, the body of Christ has the power to do all kind of things, but they don't have the integrity and the character to trust one another to do it.
That's right.
Because I wouldn't sign on with all you all, and all you all shouldn't sign on with me. You might not know how I handle my money. I might not know how to handle yours. And if we got good sense, we don't trust each other because all of us have made mistakes. Some of us know how to do right. Some of us don't. You know, we don't know. But if we knew we had Christian character and brotherly love one for another, the world would know you by the love you have one for another. Because the world can't get together, but we should be able to. But we can't get together either in all reality. There's enough resources among us that if there was some person trying to go to college, we could all pool in nickels and dimes and send them to college.
That's right. That's right.
So you think, have the Christian College Scholarship Fund. Mm-hmm. And it'd be nothing for the body of Christ because there's so many people putting in pennies.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we don't have that kind of unity. Father, I pray above all things that you make them one as you and I are one. Because we're more powerful as one than we are as many. Because unity is everybody moving together to benefit the whole. Team, T-A-M, together everybody accomplishes more. Apart, everybody accomplishes least. Less, together everybody accomplishes more. But you got to have people of integrity. When people sign covenants to come to church or regular and they don't come, they don't have integrity. You don't want to hook up in business with somebody with low integrity. That's why there's problems in business, low integrity. So generally, those that rise to the cream of the crop and those at the top, they find each other. And like minds group together, rich people unify. They unify to make money off all us poor folk. Because we're not going to unify. And they throw all kind of mess down there about get the white man, get the black man, get the yellow man. And just like a bunch of idiots, we get caught up in all that and miss the whole point that all of us are getting screwed equally by whatever color you are. Folks fighting over colors. Ain't no color doing it to you. There's classism there, and there's the people that own Visa and own these big banks. They're doing it to everybody together equally, no matter what color you are.
That's right.
If you're dumb enough to play the game, they're dumb enough to take advantage, dumb enough to let you be taken advantage of. People with real money aren't as prejudiced as you think. They just like green.
That's
right. If it ain't green, they don't like it. But they'll throw mess between us to keep us separated. The devil is throwing that mess even in the body of Christ to keep us separated. The white church, the black church, there's no such churches. There's the church. You're either part of it or you're not. Part of it or not. We need to learn to unify because there's power in numbers. People unify around the white Aryan nation. They unify around the black caucus. They unify all them little small groups. They're still short-sighted. The small vision. They're not a godly vision. It's too small for God. God is not interested in any color groups. He's interested in the body of Christ being together. All those are segments that have come out of the world exist within the body. And it's just wrong. It's wrong for unity. It's wrong for wisdom. There is enough resources in the body of Christ to be the richest group on the face of the earth. But we don't pool our resources because of our divisions. And there's not many people I'd even talk about the body of Christ pooling resources. Most people stop at the color of their skin and say, we'll pool resources around that color. And that group is not as big as the body of Christ. If these things are taught, faith will come for them. If the principles of wealth are taught, you learn a rich man in Babylon, they don't run out of money. I purchased Rich in Babylon because I listened to it and it's really good. So I purchased some for the bookstore. We have it in the bookstore on CD in the bridge version. It's not the long book. It's real short and real brief, but they go through it maybe in, I think it's 20 or 30 minutes, and they got another financial story behind it, the magic story. And they give you principles, basic principles. We were playing that. Helen and I were playing that for the kids during family devotion time before they go to bed. And I'll probably play it again and again and again and talk to them about it and go through it again and ask them questions about it. And they're very intelligent. Chris asked questions. Bobby, Dede asked questions about that. Why did he do this? How did he do that? So they can begin to understand. I wrote in my journal today to start that the Cook Family National Bank. And then they have an investments where they can put some of the money into a checking account, or they can choose to put it over into a money market, or they can choose, which is time sensitive, like it's got to stay there for a month. I mean, you can't take it out to go buy some new gadget you saw, or you can put it in the long-term savings 6-month CD, which might pay you 12%. And Helen and I will fund the percentage for them. But I want them to learn that these are three different places you can put your money. And if you're willing to be patient and keep it there long enough, you can get more interest. Because like I said, they've got money. Chris and D&M, they got $200 each and different kind of money. And Bobby's got like 100 something. And if I tell them, look, we'll give you 12% interest a year, but you got to do this kind of setup like that, or we'll give you 2% in a bank account, which you can readily take as you want to, but the other one's got to be in there for a month, a 30-day CD or something like that, we can vary the interest rates so they can begin to understand the principles of money. And it's not going to cost us that much because they don't have that much money. If one of you all pop up and give them $2,000, I'm lowering the interest rate because I can't get that kind of interest myself. I ain't looking nowhere to lose no money. You know, because I told Helen, I said, shoot, these jokers got so much money, I can't get them no. I get them 12% on $200. I'd be giving them 20-something. That's a lot of money for kids their age. That's more than they make in allowance. Now, that ain't in a real-world scenario. But, you know, I'm thinking I'm dealing with kids with $5 and $10. But you're counting up their money, these jokers got some money. So I'm about to balance out the interest rate and still give them the incentive and the motivation to save and to do right so they can learn how to do it and have a money market, have a mutual fund, have all those. And all I'm doing is putting the money in a can. But on the front door of the money, there's a system by which they come. And you bring your checkbook, and you log it. And matter of fact, I wrote down to put it on a computer and let them go on the computer so they can learn how to deal with Quicken. Set it all up in Quicken, set it, and they can keep track and they can print out their monthly statement and they can balance their little checkbook or whatever it is they got. All those things are easy, and our kids are capable of learning them. And they're capable of understanding money. That's what the rich and the middle class tell their kids. That's what the rich class, but the poor and the middle class don't tell their kids that, but the rich do. They sit down and explain to them from coming up how you deal with money. They take them in real case scenarios and take them to the bank on a tour. We go on field trips to the zoo. They go on a field trip to the stock exchange. We go to the zoo to watch some monkeys so we can grow up and be one. Grow up and be a financial monkey.
I want. Give me.
You know, and they would sit down and look through the stock exchange and say, you want to get a little stock? Here, Daddy bought you some stock. You know, Daddy bought you some stock. Now watch your stock, son. Watch that stock. What's that stock doing? And then they know how to find in the paper what the signature is, the code for their stock. They're able to watch it go up and down and see what it does in the long run and the short run. And then they know how to deal with money before they get out the house.
That's right.
We need to teach our children to succeed because God says the blessings of Abraham are theirs. But you know the blessings have a cost. If. It's a condition to the blessings. If. Our kids will be blessed all the days of their life if we teach them how to be blessed all the days of their life. The members of a church will be blessed all the days of their life if the pastor teaches them or they go and read and study how to be blessed all the days of their life. People will stay married and have a happy marriage if somebody teaches them what character to look for in a prospective mate. People will be happy if they pay the price to be happy. This year, I'm into paying the prices and teaching you all what the prices are so those who will be rich and those who will be blessed and those who will have good marriages will understand there's a price. Let every man count the cost before he goes out and bills. Lest he start to bill and not have the wherewithal to finish and become mocked by his neighbors. A lot of Christians have started to build a successful Christian life only to end up mocked when they back off when they see, oh, there's a cost. I ain't paying no cost. It's stupid to save all your money and to be poor just so you can be rich when you retire because you might die before that.
Right.
Your life might be required of you even this night while stockpile money. Remember that parable? But stockpiling is totally different from saving and investing a wise amount of it to do what's wise. We're not talking about hoarding because they talk about if you hoard the money, you won't be blessed. The liberal soul should be made fat. Always have in your savings parts for giving. You have your tithes and your offerings. You have your tenth that you pay yourself and you learn to live off the rest of it. Some of you, and Helen and I are contemplating this. We've contemplated if we want to sell our house to catch up with our savings, to catch up with our financial plan. Because we got a nice house and we can take some equity out of it by selling it, and we're contemplating that. Let's think about it a few months. Let's not do anything rash because we got a good investment on a good piece of property that's appreciating. See, we are making money, but also it doesn't give us the free expendable income to be able to pay the bills off like that. Whereas if we sell the house, we pay the bills off like that, but then we're homeless in an apartment somewhere. And then you're paying rent, flushing money down the drain. So what we've got to do is balance out the two and decide what's best. Helen has suggested maybe we'll sell the house and get a less expensive house. That way you still got a piece of property, you still take out some equity, and then you start over. I said, well, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. We might do that. You know, we might do that. Sometimes to make things right, it costs you. And some people never want to be the cost, pay the cost. They never want to be inconvenienced. They never want to have function, delayed gratification. That's why they are where they are now. But if you get tired of being where you are now and being there, downscale your living so you can upscale your savings. And actually your investments, not your savings. This is good. Some of you may be missing this, but this is good. You young people, this is the key to retiring with nearly $2 million in your pocket. And everybody look at you and say, how in the world did you do that? You worked at McDonald's and a little job and a little here and there job. How did you do that? You ate what we ate and did what we did and went where we went. Does that sound like Rich Man Babylon? The guy said, hey, his friends, he was Rich Man Babylon. His friends came to him and said, I don't understand. We went to the same schools. We did the same things. Your parents were no smarter than mine. We lived in the same neighborhoods. But how is it you became the Rich Man Babylon and we can barely eke out a living? And he began to tell him, well, I ran into this guy who showed me the secret of wealth. And he said, a part of all you make is yours to keep. And he goes on and he tells him the laws of gold. That's why you should get that book. Everybody should get the copy of that book and read it. It's very easy to read. Yeah. If you don't like reading, you can get the synoptic version. It's not as full as the written version, but you can get the synoptic version. I got it on CDs. I know some people are auditory learners. They don't want to read. So I still want you to get the information. So it's available on CD. A CD is great for kids because they got music in the background. They're telling the story and the kids listen to it. So they sit there and they listen to it and they ask questions. And it's like old days when your parents were kids, when you have no idiot box TV and they had to use their imagination to listen to what's going on, imagine what's going on in the story. So you're helping them stretch their imagination. You know, I told Helen, I said, we've got four kids and us, that's a small army. We can work together and be millionaires all together. Put them to work, of course, but I'd say, I'll just manage for them. No, I'm teasing. But that's a small army right there. My family, they worked together like that. My dad and them, they had properties. My dad and mother and them and my mother's brothers and sisters, they all got together. I think it was, I don't know, what was it? How many people was in it? Six of them, eight of them? It was about six or eight. There's eight of them total, and I think there was about six of them in it, and five of them or so were in it, and they went out and bought properties. Everybody would go. I'd go over there, and we'd be laying tile, painting buildings, doing that. Brother wasn't getting paid, but we'd go do it. We got to live free in their house, but the whole family went out. I forget what they had. What, at the most, you guys had, what, six or seven properties, but you had some of them with three-plex units where three people can stay in them. Six units. So they had six units, and some of them were multi-dwelling units, you know, two apartments upstairs. Stairs, one downstairs to share the basement, all kinds of stuff. But they always did that, and that brought in money for all of them. You know, that brought in money for all of them. People working together. Everybody's little can add up to much if people can just get along. Why can't we all get along? Because we keep asking the devil for permission, and he ain't going to give you permission to get along. You're going to be a Christian and just get along anyway. If ain't nobody going to get along with you, then you get along by yourself and do what's wise. Save your money. God says if you do well, it'll still be well with you, but it can be done so much faster with so many more people because you can get different types of investments. You can go into there. There are rich people that, like they say, it's true the rich get richer and the poor get poorer because the rich get richer because the way they've set up society, it's in their favor. They can go and get into things you can't get into because we don't make enough money to even get into some of the things they get into. We all collectively make enough, but we don't individually make enough, and that requires unity. Unity. Everybody can accomplish more working together.
That's right.
We can, if worst case scenario, let us all talk and understand these things. Maybe when we were growing up, we didn't sit down at the table and discuss all these, but we can discuss them now. I intentionally created a buzz about health to get everybody talking about health. I want everybody to talk about wealth and health. Then we want to talk about the rest of it. We all talk about Jesus and salvation already, but we want to talk about the word coming in and going out. In the city and in the field, in the storehouse, everywhere. Because you got to get your confession. Do not let go of the confession of what God wants for you. Because you need your confession to accomplish the things God wants you to accomplish. There is he that scattereth and yet increases, and there is him withholdeth and comes to meat, but it tendeth to poverty when you withhold like that. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be ahead upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procures favor, but he that seeketh mischief it shall come unto him. Let's just stretch this for a moment and put in, and they're talking about money, so let's put it in mischievous with your money. Going out trying to hit it in Vegas is being mischievous with your money. Playing the lottery is being mischievous with your money. But you can procure favor by diligently seeking the favor and walking after wisdom with your money. Inch by inch is a cinch. Save a little bit and then go keep going. Put in as much as you can. Try and get pre-taxed investments. That way it's worth more money because it keeps gaining interest before they take the taxes off because taxes hit you hard. Try and get the pre-taxed investments. Everybody should have some kind of IRA or Roth account or something like that. Definitely should have your 401k going. If you got good sense, you'll max it out.
That's right.
Because those people are matching the money up to a certain point. They're like giving you money.
Right.
Should max it out. When Helen and I have 401ks, we max them out. Joy Faith don't give us a 401k yet. But we maxed them out when we had them working in the world. We maxed them out. And employees, Dan didn't get a 401k. We're not at that point yet where we do that, but we were maxing them out when we had them because that was just free money. Even in bad times, they were matching the money you put in up to a certain amount. Some of you need to go back and check and see what your 401ks are doing, see if they're available to you, and see if you're paying the max. Whatever it is the max is, you get used to not having it. And they don't set it so high because they don't want you getting too rich, but they did. Generally, we max it out and it wasn't the end of the world. Definitely, if you got a raise coming up and you think you can't do it, when that raise comes, don't use that raise. Put in your 401k, max it out. You'll be happy when you reach 65. Because that little bit now will mean so much then. It is easy to be a millionaire in the United States if you start early enough. And you can still do it later, but you got to do things a little bit differently. And it may be an unrealistic goal because you may not want to go out and buy property, manage property, and do all that. You might not want to learn to flip properties. You might not want to do that. But yet you can still retire well and far better than if you do nothing. God's will is that you prosper. But it's going to come according as your mind, will, and emotions, your soul prospers. If you don't fill your mind, that's why we've got the financial section out there growing and increasing. That's why we're going to do the seminar on it. That's why I'm talking about it now, to increase your understanding, enlighten the eyes of your understanding on how God's going to bring the blessing about. Is anybody here eating junk and then just no matter what they eat, if they get sick, they just going to get healed eating junk? No, you got to change the way you think, to change the way you eat for the healing to manifest for your financial miracle. Everybody's trying to throw money in a pot to get a financial miracle. Trying to go to a one-time gimmick, and if I give $100, I get 100-fold back, and I'm going to get out like that. I tithe for 3 weeks, so I'm going to get out of debt. No, it doesn't work like that. You're not going to invest for 3 weeks and get out of debt, and you're not going to tithe for 3 weeks and get out of debt. You have to make lifestyle changes that will benefit you in the long run. But they will benefit you. And then we can say, God gave me the ability to get wealth. I use that ability, and now I'm proving his covenant in the earth, and I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I am the lender, not the borrower. People come to me borrowing my money. That's what investment is. They're borrowing your money. You go and they say, well, can I borrow your money? If I borrow your money, I give you X amount of interest. Sure, I'll loan it to you for a fee. And then they pay you back interest. That's what it is. The borrower is the investor. And the lender is the investor, and the borrower is the one who's out of the money and paying the interest. We have to stop being, if we believe God wants us to do that, we got to figure out ways to stop being a borrower. Some of us may need to put the Visa cards away. I still have mine, but I put them away because it's just, you don't want the temptation. You don't need the temptation. And if you're really trying to catch up for lost time, you really don't need it. Whatever it is that we buy on Visa is not that important anyway for most of us. If you're not careful, you'll use it just to dig a hole. You know, that means you know you're out of money, but you keep using it anyway. You use it to dig a hole. To one day, it'll run dry and you'll be just that much further in the hole and still have to face what you could have faced a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but not been in that hole. Some things you just don't need. And some people do it because of pride, worried what other people think and how they look and how they dress and where they go. I tell folks, I can't go. If it's somewhere, oh, we're going on vacation, we're doing that. I said, I can't go. Money's tight. I ain't going that way. And I don't necessarily confess money's tight because I don't want to make negative confessions. But I tell them, I said, no, that's not in my budget. And it's not. It's not in my budget. And I don't care if they think it's not in my budget or it should be. My budget is my budget. I'm not in there. It's not that important. It's not that important. I tell Helen, like when we do things with the kids, let's do economical things. Our kids love to go to the beach. The beach is free other than the park, and the beach is free. They love to do things like that, and we love doing it with them. Saturday, we all went for a walk. Now, we could have said, let's go down to the go-kart place, the Fun Depot, and spend $80. And it lasts shorter, and it not be as enjoyable. It's just some more watching TV. You can go home and play Nintendo for free while I go down there and pay to play them. You know, you can play them free on Nintendo at the house. You know, if you want environment change, go to a free environment and change. Most museums are free. Go walk through the museum and learn something. You know, but people don't, it's all about how you think. We're not talking about changing your lifestyle. We're talking about not paying for everything you do in your lifestyle. Find lesser ways to do things. You know, some of you might want to shop at a Goodwill. Helen and I go to Goodwill, you find some good things in there. You know, I think this suit came from Goodwill. People say, don't say that. Don't tell everybody where your suit came from. I said, I think this one came from the Goodwill. I like it. And like I said, till you dress me, I don't care what you have to say. You can dress me in Armani, I will receive it. But until you feel the unction, I will dress me the way I want to dress me. You see what I'm saying? And I always said the wiser person is the person who gets the same thing for less money, not the person who pays the most for it. Now, I believe the people at this church are at least that practical. We don't have them frou-frou-poo-foo people who, you know, they all caught up in labels and names and all that. If that's you and you got that kind of money, keep doing it. But if not, you'll be the one to be retired poor when everybody else got money. Because you had all the frou-frou and the poo-poo. But like I said, if it's got somebody else's name on it, I probably shouldn't be buying it no way. That's their clothes. And they charge me extra to buy their clothes. I can get my own and not have to do that. It say Sears on the back. His clothes are a lot cheaper or whatever, you know. I never have been big on labels. I mean, I like them like everybody else, but I never have. My parents didn't raise us like that. You be talking about trying to get a certain type of gym shoe. My mother and them said, I ain't buying that gym shoe. I'm not paying $10 for a pair of gym shoes. You know, brother had them skids and them kicks. And I told my mother, I did get them to get me a nice pair of gym shoes when one day in elementary school I was running and I had them cheap shoes with the hard bottom and I couldn't stop. I ran to the wall. All I remember was people saying, is he all right? Is he all right? And I woke up. And that was like 10 in the morning. I woke up at 6:30 in the evening at Henry Poore Hospital from a concussion. My mother bought me some better gym shoes. Them things wouldn't stop. They wouldn't go. The sole was so hard it had no traction. I think the floor was dusty and we were running, touched the wall, run back the other way, and I just couldn't stop. I, bam, hit that brick wall. She said, I'm about to get that boy some shoes because these right here were, I told her, some of them shoes are hazardous to your health. You know, they just too hard. You need to be on concrete playing with them. You get on gym floor, anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of them shoes were so hard, they're dangerous, boy. The sole don't ever wear out. The top of the shoe be raggedy with holes in it. The sole is standing there like it's brand new. And you got to throw the shoe away. That, you know, Chucks, Converse, NBAs, the sole will wear out. You burning down past the brown to the white, and your sock burning up, you know, but the top still looking good. Not with them Skippies, buddy. Those Skippies, the canvas be worn out, and the sole be standing like a brand new Cadillac untouched. You can't hurt me. I cannot be harmed. I'm like, we got to get rid of them gym shoes. But see, you learn, and your parents raise you right. Don't give your kids everything. Let them earn some stuff. Give them some chores in the house. Give them some things to do. Don't let them just go around learning that thinking life is free because it's not. And when they get out of your house, they'll find ain't no people out there lying out to get them free breaks. And then they don't know how to survive. It's like I was talking about the people out here that come feed the ducks every day. God made those ducks to know how to find food. But if you keep feeding them breadcrumbs and all that every day, when those two old people come feed them every day, die, there's ducks going to be standing there like, how do we eat? Hey, well, where's the room service at? Yeah. And you see them, because I come before the old people get here. Sometimes I come later and I see them, but generally I come before they get here and the ducks be over there on the side of the building waiting. They said, this is where the food come from. The humans, God told the humans to bring it like manna out of heaven right here to the sidewalk. And those young ones, they don't know how to hunt. They don't know how to go out and find anything. They think they're doing animals a favor. God, you need to let them animals learn how to live in nature. Right. You know, I'm not talking about if you got a sick one that's dying or something, you might want to help it out. But those ducks are fine. But they feed them every morning. Every morning they're out there and they think they're doing them a favor. You know, the ducks think God's delivering manna from heaven. But no, that's humans bringing it. But we're going to go ahead and close because we're out of time. But we threw that in. That's free. Won't cost you nothing. If you pay attention to that, that will bless you. That's simple. We'll go deeper in the financial seminar, but that's very simple. But God wants you to be blessed, but you have to know how to do it, and then you have to act accordingly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you for strengthening and encouraging us. We thank you, Father, that you have said and ordained that we be blessed coming in and blessed going out. You've ordained that we become the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. You've given us and ordained that we have the ability to get wealth and accumulate it, Father. Wisely, not foolishies, not through get rich quick schemes and pyramid schemes. dreams and all that stuff, Father, but you've led us into it by savings, by investing, by being wise, by listening to the voice of the Spirit and moving when you say move. We thank you, Father, that we're not covetous and we will not develop covetousness, but we will learn to manage our finances properly and we will be those to scatter, but yet come to increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just